get tuned in and then I'll speak.
We're looking to balance self
and society.
I gotta help myself.
You are locked into the award-winning Mental Speak radio show on the Fishbowl Radio Network.
That you are. Happy Sunday. It's LaTanya Davison, the host of the Mental Speak radio show. We're coming at you live from the Fishbowl Radio Network in Arlington, Texas. We are at the Globe Life Park, the Entertainment District, and we are so happy to be with you this Sunday. We got a lot to talk about. Welcome to everybody around the world. We are a global show. Shout out to those of you tuned in down the line on the podcast, Apple Music, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify. Welcome, welcome. Today, I have titled the show, The Science of COVID-19. The Science of COVID-19. Now, science is a word that it seems very broad. It seems very black and white, right? Like it's either science or it's not science, correct? I'm going to play a clip from Dr. Fauci where he said, you know, we can finally speak science now. Clearly there's an authority on science, yes? Or can the average person be a scientist? I'm of the mindset, I'm a mental health therapist, and when I'm doing work with clients, I say to them, you're a scientist of your life. What am I telling that person? I'm telling that person that you can observe patterns of behavior, activity around you, input, output. You could observe that over time and determine for yourself whether an outcome works for you or not. That's science. So I think we are hardwired as human beings to be able to do science. But the current discussion today is that there's one authority on science and there's an establishment that has the science. And that worries me. That worries me a little bit. And so what I decided to do today was to bring back a former guest. This woman is so dynamic. She's so amazing. You're going to love hearing from her. You listen to me. Go get somebody and tell somebody to tell somebody that they need to come listen to the show today. FBRN.us or join us on Facebook, because we have with us Dr. Betsy Cairo. Let me give you all her. She's got all the letters. Okay. She's a reproductive biologist, teacher, graduate and of undergraduate courses at local universities. She emphasizes reproductive health, human sexuality, drug abuse and human disease. She's worked in the field of reproductive medicine for over 25 years. She's also the founder of CryoGam, Colorado. And she is the director and owner. And she's going to give you more of her background as well. She also formed the Look Both Ways. This is a 501c3, and it's dedicated to comprehensive reproductive health education. I'm going to let you give all the letters because you're certified and all the things. And we'll break that down. But what I want people to know today is that you guys listen. Get your pen and pencils, okay? She's going to be throwing out science when we get into this discussion about the science of COVID. And I'm just going to jump right in. Let's just go there. Hi, Dr. Betsy.
Hello.
I want you to give people your background because I feel like I don't do it justice. I have to go through the motions and just read it, but tell folks your
science. Pretty good. Yeah. I mean, I have my doctorate in human reproduction and I'm a boarded reproductive biologist. I'm also a certified sexuality educator and supervisory standing through an organization called ASECT. I am the founder of CryoGam. We're a cryobank in Colorado. And I also am the executive director of Look Both Ways, which is our nonprofit, as you said, specializing in reproductive health education for all ages. We currently have a new podcast. It's called It's Not Human Sexuality. You can find it anywhere you stream. We're into our third season. We're pretty excited about that. So we're just trying to get the word out about being a person, right? Because we feel that reproductive health is definitely the biology, psychology, and sociology of being a person. And so everything you do, everything you are, everything you interact with is all part of this reproductive health umbrella. And that's where, that's my day, right? So I spend half my day working, you know, trying to get people pregnant. And the other part of my life is, let's not do that. Let's wait. I just have to remember which room I'm
duality.
In, right?
So duality.
Yeah. So they're not competing forces, but they are definitely on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah. I feel like it just made you the perfect person. And I, you know, I hear your voice, obviously I followed your work. You came on to our, we discussed why you're not a feminist. We had that discussion in terms of, you know, how it relates to dating and mating and relating. Right. And COVID-19, I feel the number one word has been survival. It's been about survival. And I think who better than to ask than a reproductive biologist who has understanding about research, clinical studies, obviously. And you did tell me to make sure I give the caveat and the disclaimer that you're not an expert in immunology or epidemiology. But I think, like I said in the beginning, people who are in science learn to do science as a trade, as a craft, and it's something that you can perfect. So I think you are more than qualified to be here to talk to us today. Let me kick this off. Dr. Fauci said that now that Trump is out of the office, that he can speak science again to us. In terms of COVID, just from the beginning when it hit here in the United States, your observation of the science being done by the establishment as it relates to, you know, I guess, halting the virus till now and looking at the vaccination, how would you rate the science being done?
Censored. I think, we got off to a start where probably information was critical for the masses, but from the get-go, it was do this, not that, and then it was, well, now do this, not that. And when you start to see science unfolding in real life, it tends to tell people that it's not solid. Science is not solid. And so then you had people stepping in going, well, then which is it? Is it this or is it that? And we might say, well, it's both, or I don't know. But I think what was important for me is to have people say, we don't know. And we didn't hear that a lot. We just heard things changing. And typically when you're doing science and you are doing an experiment, you don't know what the outcome is going to be. You shouldn't, because then you would have too much research or bias, and it would really affect your procedure, right? So, but you do say as a scientist, that didn't work, or that's a springboard to go down this avenue because we've exhausted this. So let's now go over here. And we didn't really get that in real time. We got the mistakes in real time, but we didn't really get the, oh, oops, you know, this is what we thought we knew, but this is what we know now. And I think that if there had been a little bit more transparency of this is new, this is, we haven't seen this before. We're not sure. We're throwing stuff at it. You know, bear with us, try to do this. Maybe people would have been a little bit more forgiving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to say this to the listeners. If this is your first time listening to the Mental Speak Radio Show, what I like to think that we do is get nuanced with information. It's, you know, something I've learned over the years is, you know, when we think we're woke or we're woke, it is tempting to just go, oh, I know exactly what that is. That's what that is. And that's it. That's all. Right. And then it's easy also to be a what we call a coincidence theorist, where you think everything is just, you know, whoop, by chance. So we want to find ourselves somewhere in the middle, right, in the balance. And that's what we're doing today. So when you say, Dr. Betsy, that, you know, there's not a sense of humility to the approach, right? Like, we didn't know about that. And this is not just, you know, people will say that was Donald Trump, but I feel it was the entire establishment, so to speak, right? All the different parties were a little bit like, we got this, right? You know, this is what we're going to do. To me, my inner, I don't use the word conspiracy theorist, but my inner, you know, you guys seem a little too comfortable about what you're doing right now with the masks and all those kinds of things. It seemed a little, you know, a little weird to me. And like you said, I would have liked to hear, we don't know. We don't know. Mm-hmm. We're working this out. You know, then I might trust you a little more.
Maybe. Yeah. And I'm looking at it with a different eye.
For sure.
I look at it in a lot of different ways. And,
for sure.
I think it's important to know that when you could put 100 scientists in a room and you might get 100 different opinions about one subject. I can tell you that is straight up true about reproduction, right? And especially when we talk about assisted reproductive techniques and, you know, and that's just a whole nother rabbit hole, but
yeah. Well,
science, you know, yeah. So when you look at that, when you think about that as with respect to a scientist, it's okay to disagree. It's okay to say, but look at this portion of it and yes, there's some validity here, or look at that portion of it, there's some validity there. And I think, so when I try to explain this, like with my kids, or I'm talking to my staff, or we're kicking around articles that maybe came out about COVID, it's like, this is really interesting. And it is a really, really incredible virus. I mean, it's pretty clever.
Talk to us about it.
Huh?
Talk to us about it.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Yeah. It's just, it's, it's a very opportunistic virus. It, like you said, you know, it tends to find your weaknesses and it's going to just blow that up. So when we say, you know, this person was really healthy and all of these things, on some level, that was probably true, but there might've been some underlying factors that was like, maybe not, you know, maybe this virus just sought that out and took advantage of that. And so there are two avenues to go when we start looking at this virus. One is let's develop a vaccine, which they immediately started to do. And the second is let's look at therapeutics. Like, how do we control the symptoms, reduce the symptoms, and accelerate the viral replication or minimize the viral replication so that you cycle out of it. And if you talk to people who are in the know, they're going to tell you that maybe the vaccine is not going to be a cure-all. It's not going to be the panacea that we're looking for as far as fixing it. It might help us take a breath so that we can then look for more therapeutics that are going to work. But I think in my mind, where my mind goes with this is where we're really going to see the benefit is in treating it, is in therapeutics.
Yes.
So that we can just come in and, like with the flu, here's some Tamiflu. It's going to really reduce your symptoms and you're going to get through it a lot faster. That's like what we did with the herpes virus. You know, when you have cold sores, you take Aquaphor, you put on an ointment, and it doesn't stop the virus from doing its thing. It just runs it through or shortens its life cycle. Mm-hmm. So, and you feel better quicker, right? You don't go through all the stages of a cold sore. You might get a bump and then you put that on and it's gone because we just shut it down. And that's kind of what we're needing maybe with this virus. So the vaccination then became political, you know, and that was unfortunate because yes, things in science are political, but this really is hurting it because it is political and it's pitting people against each other. So yes. If you're skeptical about the vaccination, people think you're an anti-vaxxer, and that's not the same thing. They're not the same thing.
They're not.
And then that just halts the conversation. It's like, I mean, when we have the military saying it's completely voluntary, I'm sorry. Did not flags go up on that? Because as far as we all know, the military has never seen a vaccine they didn't love.
Come on.
And you know that better than anybody.
I know it.
And,
you're going to take this vaccine. No, I'm not.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
You are.
So when the military says we're good, we'll wait, you know, and there's some pause there.
Can I ask you in terms of now, I made it through a semester of nursing school. Okay. This is way back when in a whole other life, but I did get through nursing school. And I remember in my pharmacology course, I remember the professor saying that medication trials never end. She said that never, right? She said that the fifth trial is the public. Mm-hmm. Why do I feel that this first trial for this vaccine is the public?
Because is that accurate? I mean, you have your stages of when you go through a drug or a vaccination validation. Yeah. You have three stages, and you know, animal trials, and then small clinical trials, and then large clinical trials, and typically that takes a while. But the FDA will give emergency approval for, this isn't the first time they've done it for a vaccine or definitely for a medication. They've definitely done it for medications before, and they've given emergency use for off-label for medications to try and treat this virus. So that's not unusual, but what is unusual is for people to think that it's approved. So there's a difference between FDA approved and FDA approved for emergency use. So all FDA approved was its emergency use to say, okay, we've seen some data. We feel like we can let it out there and see what happens. Well, there's some things that are happening and you're going to get that, right? We're just going to, again, see science unfolding in real time because we didn't really go through all the stages that FDA requires in large number of populations before we're actually using it as a vaccination to control disease. And that can lend to problems.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate, again, going back to where we were told, you know, hey, you're this American spirit that you have of independence, of autonomy, and then to be told, hey, now you need to do what you're told. There was a sense of almost, you know, putting it out there that we were going to be a part of this experiment, whether we wanted it to be or not. And I mean, COVID, you know, coronavirus in and of itself, this particular iteration, of course, is forcing all of us to be a part of an experiment that we didn't ask for. But at this point, like you said, there's two camps. There's those who are willing to participate to save their lives and those who are saying, no, I'm not going to be a part of this until you figure it out. Let's talk a little bit about that. Like, you know, how do we overcome that division in terms of, I mean, everybody wants to survive. We all want to survive, I think. Yeah.
For the most part.
How do we move this? How do we move through this, though? This camp of, if you take the vaccine, you're dumb. What are you doing? But they want to survive. And those who don't want to take it want to survive.
Well, but you just said that, right? If you take the vaccine, people look at you and say you're dumb. And if you don't take the vaccine, people look at you and say you're part of the problem and you're dumb. And right. So same with masks, right? So the issue for me is when I look at the vaccine and I understand the ability that I can understand it, the immunological response of natural immunity versus those who've got the vaccine, they don't know how long that lasts. So some of the things they understand is that people with natural immunity, their antibodies cycle out, but it doesn't mean that they're no longer immune because it goes to a different level of immunity that you can't see in the T cells and et cetera. So what your body has is viral memory. So if you got exposed to this virus again, you might get sick again, but it won't be as severe. It'll be like a cold, or it'll be, you know, like you don't feel good for a couple of days, or like flu-like symptoms, not the flu, but flu-like symptoms. And that's still immunity. That it just lessens the, like what I just talked about with a cold sore, right?
Right.
So you still have the immunity. it's not, it doesn't mean that you are wearing a metal shield and bing, 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 you know, you're never going to get this virus because it just bounces off of you. That's not going to happen. And so same with the vaccination. They don't know how long it's going to last. And so for them to say, well, you have to have a vaccination card or proof of vaccination. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that in 6 months you have to get that renewed? And I want you to think about the logistics of that. There's not enough vaccine to go around now.
Come on.
And so by the time you vaccinate those first people, and then they're 3 months into it, by the time the other people get them, and you see this moving target, right? 3 months, 3 months, 6 months. And then by the time they're ready to get their vaccine again, there's still not enough vaccine to go around because we haven't vaccinated everybody. So that means they're according to, you know, what we know, has their immunity worn off. And so really, is that vaccination card going to even mean anything?
Exactly.
You know, because we don't know. Just because you got the vaccine doesn't mean A, you built antibodies because your body may not have even reacted, or two, we don't know how long it's going to last because we haven't tested the vaccine long enough. And that's legit. It's not a malfunction of the vaccination. It's a malfunction of time of data.
Ugh. And this is why, again, I wanted you to come and talk to us about this, because of the simple fact that you understand clinical research and what is needed. Again, data, how long would a typical, from your understanding, how long would a typical vaccine need to be studied before, you know, given to a mass population?
I don't know. And this vaccine is different. You know, it uses the mRNA and it is different. So you're not looking at a modified live, and that's different.
Yeah.
So all of that is different. But if you just want to use the yearly flu vaccination as an example, they aren't really sure. And they'll tell you that. And that's the one thing the CDC is transparent about. They don't know which strain is going to show up. So they kind of go, we think it's this. And so they kind of put a combination together in that vaccination for the year, and then they vaccinate. And what they're really hoping for is about a 35% efficacy, right? They're like, we really hope this works in about 35% of the population because it'll diminish the medical load and it'll reduce the number of people dying. But they don't really know what's going to show up every flu season, right? They just can't, because of science.
Yeah.
you just don't get to dial it in.
Yeah.
Viruses are they're so awful. They go rogue all the time. They are terrible at rewriting themselves. They suck at it. That's why they mutate, because they can't read. And so they just do that and survive. And then we're supposed to, it's like playing Calvin and Hobbes, where somebody keeps changing the rules and you have to figure out how to win the game. And so when you look at that, and then you throw in natural immunity, and then you throw in the vaccination, that's their goal, right? Is to get enough people vaccinated, enough people with natural immunity, that the virus just burns itself out. And eventually it just becomes
kind of null and void.
Yeah. I mean, I actually think people think that this virus is going to go away. This virus is always going to be on the menu. It's always going to be there, just like H1N1, just like bird flu. It's always going to be there. And so we have to figure out, how do we live with it? How do we survive it? And how do we calm its ugly, you know, ability? And that's really the goal.
Yes.
But it's not like we stay in our house for 2 years and we walk out when we're told to, and the sun is shining and we go, and birds are chirping, and we all kind of blink at the light of the sky and go, oh, it's a wonderful day, and virus is gone. It's just not gonna, it's not that at all. So I hope I didn't burst anybody's bubble today, but it's not a movie. It doesn't end like that. It's always on the menu.
We like the realism. That's what, you know, and I think that, you know, as a mental health therapist, I, you know, my line of work is in helping people cope with the truth, the reality. Mm-hmm. This is one of my favorite things to teach people, in terms of, you know, since COVID hit, I mean, every aspect of our lives have changed and we've had to adapt. In your line of work and reproductive biology, and just looking at human nature, Talk a little bit about adaptation with Corona. What have you been thinking? What is life going to look like a year, 2 years? What have you imagined or hypothesized?
Oh, wow. So one of the things that I'm concerned about, because I own a cryobank and we deal with anonymous donor sperm, is these men getting the vaccination. Because we don't know. I don't know anything about it. And it makes me nervous, right? So, you know, if they got the flu vaccine, or if they got, you know, HPV vaccine.
Sorry. Since COVID hit, I mean,
I don't know anything.
Oh, so sorry.
That was me. Did I glitch? Okay, sorry.
No, that was me.
Okay.
Sorry.
So that's a concern, right? So we actually have, and we also have men storing sperm prior to getting vaccinated because they're not sure. So we're kind of seeing a shift in that. With respect to women, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if women are going to store oocytes and then, you know, get vaccinated, or because for them to say, well, it's safe in pregnancy is, I don't know. We don't know that. It has not been tested. It doesn't have a pregnancy category. So I don't know. I think it's just, we just have to say, we don't know what the long-term effects are going to be on reproduction.
Right.
And then for me, I want to err on the side of caution. And so I don't have any donors that have gotten the vaccination.
Is that going to be something that you guys are going to make criteria, that if they've gotten the vaccination, is that something that you're having to rule them out from donating?
You know, that's so ugly, isn't it? Because
science, but I love that you're, but see, this is what we wanted, right? We wanted the scientists of this establishment to say, you know what? I don't really know what's going to happen right now.
Well, because that we don't want people to say, oh, you got the virus, you get to fly. You didn't get the virus, you don't get to fly.
That part.
So for me, I don't want to say, oh, you got the vaccination, you know, I mean, you got the vaccination, you can't fly. What, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, I know exactly what you mean.
So for me to say, oh, okay, well, I'm sorry. Part of our donor selection is going to be that if you've got the vaccination, you can't donate because I don't know the long-term effects. Well, so then we're like, oh, then people go, oh, you're just all about eugenics. And it's like, well, not really. I'm mostly about safety. And so then the thing is, well, if we learn more about the vaccination, and if they say in 8 months, we see a reduction in immunological or autoimmune effect on the body, then I might say, okay, come back in 8 months and we'll rescreen you, right? And so hopefully the science will get to the point where I can do that. But right now, I can't. It's sort of like people who smoke cigarettes and the effect on reproduction. We know straight up it affects it, and we know it affects the offspring. We know that. It has a pregnancy category, but we don't say to people, you can't smoke cigarettes and be pregnant. We'd like to, but we can't.
Yeah.
We do say things like, you shouldn't drink alcohol, do heroin or other drugs. And if you do, we're going to report you. so there's those avenues too, which are other rules that are kind of weird, because that's another rabbit hole. Cause you can imagine why people are not going to come clean about what they're doing when they go to the doctor, cause they don't want to be arrested. So there's that avenue. And so it's a wait and see for me, but we get so many questions from recipients who want to purchase sperm about the health of the donor, that this will definitely have to be on the questionnaire as well. Eventually, it just will have to be.
Yes.
Because we have to have complete disclosure.
I so wish David was in studio today. He actually has a research paper from early on. Are you familiar with Dr. Francis Boyle? He's mm-hmm. the author. Okay. So he's the author of the terrorism bill. And there has been, you know, I don't know if it's been suppressed. I think it has been, but I do have the actual paper myself. And it talked initially about COVID possibly attacking the gonads. Did you hear about that early on? Any implications of that?
Well, so this virus tends to go to ACE2, reaction, right? Yes. And so there's a receptors all over the body for that, all over. That's why it goes everywhere, right? It goes heart, lungs, kidneys, GI, and it goes to gonads. So testicles definitely have ACE2 receptors as well. And so the difference between the vaccination and autoimmune is that the vaccination may or may not affect that system in the same way because it's an induced response. Whereas natural immunity is just going to seek out and attach. So there is some truth to that. But the studies that I read were on cadaveric men who were pretty old and had a tremendous amount of comorbidity, such as diabetes and heart disease. And so there's absolutely zero conclusion from the one study I read. It came out of a pathologist, a morgue study, really. And I was really upset when people were like, oh my gosh, this can happen. And I'm like, these were on cadavers who were in poor health, who were older and had a tremendous amount of comorbidity. And it's not that I want to poo-poo the science of can this happen to the testicles. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you don't get to tell me that this happened because of COVID when there are 17 other comorbidities on board with this particular person who died, right? And we know that. And so it's interesting, like with COVID, it's not cutting both ways. If you have somebody who's 87 and they die after getting COVID, they say, well, COVID killed them. Okay, let's say that's true. And we all say, well, somebody you have to die of something someday, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And that's true too. Mm-hmm. And they were 87, and that's true too. But then if that's true, if we're going to put that in the COVID column, then let's think about people who died after getting the vaccination.
Oh.
And if you read the study the results that came out of, I believe it was Norway, they had 23 people die after getting the vaccination. And all they could say after that was, well, this vaccine was not tested on the elderly and the frail who were sick, which is true, right? Because you're not going to test it on, that's the population. You cannot test it on that population to see, well, we only lost 50%, so that's good.
That the test, though? I mean, I'm not to be crass.
Well, they do it in animals. It's called the... it's escaping me now, but it's the dose level of toxicity.
Yes.
Where 50% of your animal population will die. So that's your toxic level 50-50, right? Yes. So they're not going to do that in humans with this vaccine. So when they started rolling it out in the small clinical trials, they didn't really test it on elderly and frail. They didn't, because you would never get it approved. Mm-hmm. It would never, right? Because that's not the majority of the population that you're going to be vaccinating. But that's the people we vaccinated first when it came out, right? Were the elderly. They were first in line. And healthcare workers, which is critical, and emergency personnel, that kind of thing. So when we see that this happens and the pharmaceutical company goes, well, we're not sure it's the vaccine. And I'm like, okay, I'll give you that. As long as you are willing to say they were 87 and COVID didn't kill him.
Oh.
So if you want to make that trade, that's how I view it. Okay. And they say, well, they wouldn't have died if they hadn't gotten COVID. So the flip side is, okay, I'll give you that. As long as you say they wouldn't have died if they hadn't gotten the vaccine.
Yeah. But will they? Will they? Nope.
Not publicly. Because it's a huge liability for them, right? They're setting themselves up for lawsuit, and nobody would do that.
And is that even an option? I understood it to be that there will be no. It seems to me that they're still going to have to make space for vaccine injury in terms of in time once the data comes out that yes, the vaccine has the possibility to cause mortality. Do you foresee that coming, that people will be able to bring lawsuits against pharma?
Oh, you can't. You're exempt from that. that you can't be sued. You can't sue Big Pharma because of this vaccine. It's, at least that's my understanding, is that you sign a release that exonerates them.
That part. Okay, mm-hmm. Betsy, here it is, the question of all questions. We're talking to a scientist. I want to be the voice of, you know, I'm a black woman, okay? I've got ovaries. They don't work, but no, hear me out. Medical anthropology, Henrietta Lacks,
mm-hmm.
Tuskegee, mm. The radiation treatments. I mean, science, but harm.
The thing about Henrietta Lacks is that she saved a lot of lives.
She really
right?
did. She's still
oh,
saving.
Yeah.
Still doing it.
Her study.
It.
Huh?
Still doing it, right?
Oh, yeah. Straight up. And so her cell line is she's a hero, right? I mean, and the problem with all of that was the transparency and the lying. And it's hard, horrible. It's just, you know, it falls right in line with Tuskegee. It's human research. And I think, you know, when we reach deeper, we look back and we look at what happened with her, you know, I never spoke directly with her descendants or her relatives or her family. And I think ultimately what they were upset about was that there wasn't transparency.
Yeah.
That they were using her cells without her permission or even family permission. But, you know, I was having this conversation with one of my siblings and one of my friends, and they were like, you know, but think about that. You go to the hospital, you have an organ removed, or you have something removed, or a tumor. And do you have control over that? You know, where does your control over that stop and their control start, right? Because research is important. But maybe I would like to have control over that. It's a great question. It's one of my sad. It's a sad moment for me. It really hits me hard when every time somebody brings that up, because it's so bittersweet. I mean, it's just horrid. She said that's the studies of those cell lines continue to save women, and yet it was a very high cost.
And I definitely, I don't want to burden you with that, you know, like you're the token scientist to answer this for us, but I feel forced to trust a system, an establishment that has done science. I mean, I'm essentially out of it now, but I've watched an industry that essentially studies, you know, it studies humans now. And the difference now, Dr. Betsy, is they're saying that you consent. We have to get your consent.
Mm-hmm.
So human experimentation and study still continues, but with consent.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I guess for, you know, particularly people of color, but you know, anybody, all of humanity, we're here on behalf of all of humanity. You know, this is the skin that I'm in, but I just want people to feel like they have a sense of knowing. I feel like I can't even bring myself to use the word freedom, because there just doesn't feel like there is freedom over our biology. I haven't seen a point in history where we have autonomy over our biology. And I feel like COVID has really highlighted that fact. When do we get free from the establishment and study and research? Do we, you know, when we're thinking about the next generation? You understand what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah. I mean, I think I don't know. I mean, we live in a different era now, you know, when literally, and I mean literally, you can have information at your fingertips. Unfortunately, not all of it is valid.
For sure.
Including the science and the non-science and the people who think they have science.
Right.
You know, so, yep. And if you're only looking at, it's like the, you know, like we say, the blind person feeling the elephant, that's very real. Right. And that's kind of where we are in this COVID thing. And I think that when we talk about, you know, I read a lot, people of color need to step up and reassure other people of color that this is okay. And I'm thinking, I'm not really sure that's your job or your, I don't think it's my responsibility it's not my responsibility to do that. It's certainly, I think it's each and every person's responsibility to say, I'm going to research and see what works for me. But it's sort of like, it's a horrible thing to say that we need to convince people of color that this is safe. And I'm like, what? I don't understand that point. If I'm not comfortable with it or you're not comfortable with it, that's for you. I'm not going to coerce you or, you know, there's a lot of potential coercion here with respect to getting the vaccination. One is you can't fly internationally, you know, into the United States unless you have a negative test. They're not talking about vaccination. Or there's a GOP senator who's stating, well, if we're going to give out $1,400 stimulus checks, then those people have to be vaccinated or proof of vaccination. And I'm thinking, how does that work? Because they're not even on the top of the list of tier of who qualifies for the limited number of vaccines we have. And yet you're telling them that they have to get vaccinated to get their $1,400, but they don't even qualify to get in line yet because they're younger. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's like, so you have to change one thing or the other. You have to say, okay, all the people of this age range, if you want your $1,400, you have to be vaccinated. Well, first of all, some of these people have families who have children, and this vaccine hasn't been tested on children. Some of these people are pregnant, right? And it hasn't been proven to be safe in pregnancy. And so you're asking a lot for a little, okay? And to get that additional $1,400. So that's sort of a coercive way to get people to vaccinate. Like somebody said, wow, everybody's offering, you know, an ounce of marijuana if you get vaccinated. I'm thinking, well, okay, see that?
See.
And I'm like, that's kind of clever, but it's sort of like Girl Scout cookies setting up a table outside a marijuana dispensary. I got to hand it to you. Pretty bright.
It's genius. Right? That's
a genius. Yeah. So I think it comes out to what's in it for me. And I don't think we know yet.
Yeah.
But I don't think people are going to be able to sue. I know that was your original question.
Yeah.
So to answer that, I'm going to say, I don't think that'll happen.
Bridge the gap, if you can, between your many years of doing the science method, right? Scientific method, and a person's innate will to live, to use their mind to observe patterns, to observe changes in the environment. You know, without the West, clearly human beings roamed the earth and figured out action and reaction, right? Thought, action, outcome is always presented to people. You can think, you act, there's an outcome, and then you learn from that outcome. Those who are relying on their innate judgment or their, you know, their inner being, versus the science, right, being handed down to us that we're supposed to trust. Can you bridge that gap as we move forward? Because I want people to actually have practical tips for the day-to-day, since this isn't going away.
No.
So how does someone who says, look, I don't trust your Nazi medicine, right? Or your history with Nazi medicine. I don't trust it. I'm going to kind of go off of what I know and to survive. because I want people to be confident in whatever decision they choose, whether you choose to go with the establishment's regimen or you, you know, kind of do ancestral medicine. I mean, you know, whatever. How do we bridge that gap? How do we meet in the middle, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think that that's a really good question. And I think I think what's important for me, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I think when I'm making a decision, I have to think, I think in a logics model. So I think logically, like how, if this, then this, then this, and then you pick your adventure. Like, what do I want to do? Right. Yeah. So, and there are so many factors, like the comorbidities and, the different genetic factors, people of color, people living in poverty. You know, there's so many things that they keep tacking on to this checklist of if this, then this. And so you have to decide for yourself, what does that look like? For some people, they're going to sit back and say, I'm just going to sit back and watch and wait and see. And other people are like, for me to feel safe being around other people, I need to get that vaccination. And so in my mind, both of those doors should be open if that's what you want to do. If somebody wants to get the vaccine, knock yourself out, do that. I hope it's available for you. If you don't want to get the vaccine, I'm okay with that. I think what people are concerned about is saying, well, if you get the vaccine and you get sick, don't come crying to me.
Right.
And the other side says, if you don't get the vaccine and you get sick, don't come crying to me.
Right.
And so both of those are valid, right? So it's sort of like, we have this thing called accountability. So if you're going to make a decision for yourself, then you need to be accountable for the outcome and just know what that looks like. And the only way to know and to be accountable is to have information.
Yes.
And the only way to have information is to read, and to read a lot. Read a lot. And so I think, you know, we have to just figure it out as to what's right for you. It for me, it goes back to a lot of things. If you didn't want to get the HPV vaccine, don't get it. If you don't want to, you know, use birth control, don't. But understand these are the consequences that you could face by not using birth control. Or do you follow? And so yes. I think that we have to have this. If we're going to have autonomy, then we have to have accountability.
That part.
And I'm okay. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's how we can reconcile this. But also, I think people need to understand is they're seeing science unfold in real time when they typically don't. And they're part of that experiment, right? Because we're all in this population where that virus could be sitting right next to you. So you're all part of this experiment, whether you know it or not.
Or want to be.
Yeah. And it's not even a function of whether or not you're part of the experiment of being vaccinated. Yeah. It's just a part of the experiment of living.
Yeah.
For people who want to stay in their house for 10 months, go do that. Right. But also understand that one size does not fit all.
For sure.
Like some people can't do that. Colorado had its highest suicide rate ever in 2020. Highest. Okay. So I don't think people really want to think about collateral damage. I think now some of the screaming has calmed down about this. We're starting to open our eyes and go, oh my word, people, there's more than COVID. And there's this collateral damage because of COVID. And I think that we have to really start feeling and incorporating that into some of our decisions of what is the cost benefit ratio and does one size fit all? Because one size does not fit all. And we're losing people not to COVID.
That part.
We're losing kids.
Yep.
We're losing education. You know, we're losing the economy. And we got to figure something out because what we're doing isn't working.
Yes. And we want to be a part of the net, you know, to catch people. Mm-hmm. Should they fall, there are people that are finding their way, that are adapting and, you know, rising above, and they're able to, you know, they say that out of depressions, you know, millionaires are made. There are people that are finding the needs and meeting the needs. And there are those who are succumbing to, this, like you said, to the virus in more than just dying of the virus. And we want to be a part of that discussion. And I'm hopeful. Are you hopeful? Are
Very.
You optimistic that human beings are going to bounce back?
I think they already are.
They already are.
I think they really are. I think we're kind of feeling, it's not quite universal, but I think we're getting this kind of this deep breath, kind of like, you know, we're going to calm down and I think we're going to be okay. And I think we're already starting to feel that and see that. And I think that's a real big part of the battle is to not be angry.
That part.
You know, that part. So, because anger, you know, I always tell I just tell everybody, you know, anger consumes the vessel that carries it. So,
wow.
There it is.
You are welcome on Mental Speak anytime you like, because what did I tell you guys? What did I tell you? I told you she is dynamic and just, I feel a sense of, again, knowledge just brings me peace. I don't know why. Mm. That's why I do this show, because it's almost like the great equalizer. Those who really have just been going through life and, you know, they get by every day in the system, and the system hands to it whatever, you know, whatever little scraps they can get every day, and they're just living out there. I see those people, and I want them to get the knowledge that they can. And those who call themselves intellects and you know, the learned, I want them to know that there's so much more to know. There's so many more different perspectives to see. I see you guys in the comments. I'm with you. Like, if you look up, you know, truther, there's me. Like, in the picture, I'm like, what's up? But I'm also learning, you guys, to expand and try to see all angles, because in many ways, even if what we're thinking as far as there being this this shadow, you know, this cabal that has this depopulation approach, there's still within that can be found where their failure would kick in at some point, right? And this is just me speaking on a, you know, on a surface level, but think about that at some point, let's say that is their aim. Well, the DNA is amazing. Dr. Betsy, my understanding is DNA also mutates.
For sure. I mean, obviously, otherwise we wouldn't have birth defects. But yeah, of course. Yeah.
So therefore, let's say it is a weapon, just saying, hypothetically speaking, let's say it was developed in a lab.
I think there's some pretty strong evidence for that.
Very strong evidence. And because we're doing science today, we kept it in the middle. But those of you, if you go read, which is what we want you to do, go look for the science, go look for the research papers. You may have to go on the deep web to find it. You may have to pay for some science journals, but go get that information and talk to people, intelligent people like Dr. Betsy, so that you can know. I just want us all to know that above all else, no matter what this is, we can rise above this. And clearly our biology is gonna accommodate. There's a kill safe. That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Again, thank you so much for your time. Thank
Sure.
you for your knowledge. You're welcome anytime.
Okay. It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. I love kicking ideas around with you, and I appreciate the invites. So.
Very good. Tell people, are you got anything that you're doing where they can follow other than the podcast? They got the podcast. Mm-hmm. I put it in the, let me say it again. It's Not Human Sexuality, and they can hear it on all the podcast platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or Podbean. You can get it at Podbean.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. You are a hero to me. Everybody in the comment section, they're thanking you for your insight, and we'll do it again. Okay. Let's plan for 2021.
Sure.
And beyond.
Yeah. You keep doing what you're doing. It's good. It's good outreach.
Yes, ma'am. You're listening to FBRN.us. We are live from Studio A. We have been blessed with the knowledge of Dr. Betsy Cairo, and go back and listen to the first hour, you guys. You will, trust me, you're going to be enlightened. And most importantly, I do hope that you'll be more optimistic about the future, no matter what's going on with COVID and beyond. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Betsy, again. Going to pay these bills, you guys, and we'll see you soon on the other side.
Welcome to Mental Speak.
Mental
and emotional balance. You are now locked in to the Mental Speak radio show on the Fishbowl Radio Network.
Yeah, you are. You are locked in. FBRN.us, Fishbowl Radio Network. We're live from Studio A, Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas. I'm your host, LaTanya Davison. It's been great first hour of conversation with Dr. Betsy Cairo. She's a reproductive biologist out of Colorado. And this lady, amazing. Man, I saw her TEDx talk on why she's not a feminist. And she's just so dynamic. And I wanted to share her voice with you today. Science. That's what we wanted to talk about. We wanted to talk about doing the science. Welcome to the second hour of the Mental Speak radio show. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. Welcome. We do a little chat, right? Try to keep it light for the most part. And we try to play old school jams, that just kind of make us feel good while we go on this journey. Where are we going? Is it possible to know? Yes. It's about not just surviving, but thriving. We have so much coming for 2021. Just taking a leap of faith, overcoming fear, knowing that we can get through this. This virus does not have to have us hunkered down like they showed us in Hollywood films, where we're, you know, inside and, you know, I mean, there's people that need to do that. If you need to do that, that's fine and dandy. But guess what? I'm going to push you to overcome. And while you're in your little hunkered down state, research. Okay. Go to the books. How do you get there, LaTanya? You can download a Tor browser. Get yourself a Tor browser, T-O-R, browser. You can go to the deep web. What is the deep web? Well, 4% of information is on the surface web. Count it, 4%. 4%, and the establishment has been scrubbing that. You can't find just anything, right? For those of us who've done research for a few years, there's a lot of things that you can't find on the surface web. So the deep web is 96% underneath, right? Not the dark web. That's the bottom part of that. But the deep web basically crawls more deeply into the spaces where you can get information. Science journals. I got a whole library of books on the deep web. Like I'm talking PDFs, right? Legally. But no, seriously, books, journals, articles that you can't find. So when you're debating someone who is like, that's not true, Dr. Fauci didn't say that, you know that person don't know nothing about the deep web because they're just referring to the talking heads. We are no longer just referring to the talking heads, okay? We are telling you to go research information for yourself. Don't even listen to us. Go get the information for yourself, okay? You got to get out there and study if you want to thrive and not just survive. If you want to just survive, you're going to listen to these clowns. You're going to listen to these clowns, okay? And they're not going to steer you straight. That's the thing about this that is so frustrating in doing this, but I've had to learn to kind of let go and let people be people. There are people that are so fearful that they have to trust the establishment because it's established, right? It's established itself for all its glory or all its evils, whatever, however you want to look at it. It is established, and it is what it is. And there are people who need to have that regimented system in place so that they can, you know, feel safe and comfortable. That's kind of how I feel why a lot of people, y'all went to the polls. Was talking about it with somebody today. I'm like, y'all went to the polls and you don't even know who you voted for. Like, you don't even know. You just like, it ain't that fool. We gonna vote for these fools. And they could be worse than what you had. Just with a nice porcelain veneer smile, right? And a cackling laugh, and it make you feel good. Gosh, we gotta thrive, y'all. We gotta thrive. Got David Pierce from Pugilism and Politics. He's supposed to be calling in for this half of the show. So, you know, we lose a lot of people, but you can always come back to Facebook, and also you can find the podcast format of the show on all of the podcast platforms: Apple Music, Anchor, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google, yada, yada, yada. Okay. We're not done with the conversation. I want to get David's insight on, you know, some of the questions, some of the topics that that Dr. Betsy talked about, because he has done a lot of research on this virus. I tell you, when you don't have your partner in, you kind of, man, you miss some of those gems, because I listen, but I'm a woman, so I don't listen all the time. So it's generalizing. Let's see if he answers. But how you guys doing? How's everybody on Facebook? Thank you so much for joining us on the show this evening. What do we have coming up? We are looking to continue, obviously, our Music Speak segment of the show. We've got a couple of interviews coming up that we're real excited about. Can't tell you just yet. David, you on? I think we got you. Hey.
Hey.
David Pierce? I can. David Pierce, Pugilism and Politics in the house.
Peace, peace.
Yes. Dr. Betsy, as always, what'd I tell you? What'd I tell you?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you said it.
I just, don't nobody listen to me, though. You know, did you understand what I was doing in terms of kind of, you always tell me to keep it surface, right? So we can glean what we need to glean. Did you feel like we were holding back? Could you hear it?
I could tell you guys knew more. And then I could tell there's, you know, it's not a very comfortable thing taking on AMA and Big Pharma. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
People generally don't do that. Okay. And, you know, during the time where everyone is scared right now, they're going to listen more to Big Pharma or, you know, the so-called experts, you know, without really given any thought to the possibility of nefarious and diabolical actions at play.
Yeah.
And when they're willing to do that, then the people who are willing to speak truth to power they, you know, tend to run into problems, you know. So, you know, I think, though, we're kind of in a different, we're approaching a different paradigm where truth used to be murdered, but now truth is murdering lies. So back in the day when anyone used to speak up and we could speak, I could speak on this from being part of a community whose leaders were targeted, assassinated, and all that for speaking truth. That's because the world at that time was built on lies. So, of course, truth will be murdered. I'm seeing the change where truth is starting to, you know, expose the lies and people aren't as reluctant or, you know, people are more open now than before.
It, you know, I think for me, I mean, I would find myself tiptoeing, you know, how we would kind of tiptoe like, oh, I don't know if I could say that. And sometimes it was because we didn't want to talk over people's heads or, you know, as you would say, like keep it surface so people could grasp what it is that we were trying to transmit. But then there were times where it was a little scary. It was a little, I was like, wait, you know, am I going to go home and, you know, my house is gone or, you know, like, but I feel less and less like that. And I also have, I feel like I would die for the cause at this point. I see how there are people that overcome the fear of speaking truth to power such that they recognize that the cost of their life is not as great as getting the truth out to the people, you know? But like you said, it's less dangerous now and there is less of a fear of speaking that. I do still tiptoe because I know that I want people to get this information and not, I think we're still dealing with the cognitive dissonance. We're still dealing with the minds that aren't ready fully for the truth. And we're, you know, we're being leaving breadcrumbs, correct? Like we recognize we're all, look, y'all, we already in another dimension. We're like, we want to be there. But we recognize that everyone wasn't there. And that's okay. And that's okay. Did she say anything that just stood out to you that was just really profound? Or you were like, ooh, that's what I said. Anything significant to you?
You know, doing things, but, you know, I did appreciate, first of all, I appreciate how it seemed as if the subject of Henrietta Lacks, it seemed as if that is an issue that even though some of us are only hearing about it, that in that world, it's common knowledge. And then there was no apprehension in going there and even trying to deal with what folk on the other side may see as a complex issue, whereas the contribution of, you know, her biology, her system makes her, you know, labeled as a hero to some, even though she didn't have no idea that she was going to be part of, you know, research and development.
Right.
So, but no, I didn't hear anything that stood out. And in that, a lot of this stuff we already discussed.
For sure.
But I am thankful that there's a science. There are scientists out there that are willing to speak on what they know and share it, despite, you know, how challenging it could be for them. you know.
Yeah.
I appreciate that part.
I think that, you know, and that's what we wanted to do today. So we wanted to, you know, we're having to try to, you can never eradicate division. I mean, obviously there's always going to be in-group, out-group, me versus you, right? In, out, them, us. Human beings are dualistic in our thinking. That's just how we roll. But my hope today was to show people that, look, science is the art of being human. Like, it is the way. You are going to do things. You're going to make decisions. You don't get the lesson until after you've made the choice, right? Until after you've made the move. Until after you done did the thing. Then you get the information and you go, oh, well, that certainly didn't work out the way we thought it would. You know, but don't do that again, right? That hurt. Or that was time wasted. So science in a lab is going to be the same way. But scientists who do science in a lab, I think the issue that we're having right now is that they're looking at people who are waking up every day. Let's say someone is 75 years old. For 75 years, that person is a wealth of knowledge, right? They don't know. I mean, they already know. Don't drink this kind of coffee because it make my stomach hurt, right? don't eat that type of chicken wing because it gives me heartburn. They know what time is best for them to go to bed, because if they don't go to bed at that time, this is how tired they'll be in the morning, right? A person who's been a parent or a grandparent, after a while, you learn certain things about children. And what, you know, clearly there's people that have a gift, the intuition, but they've also have the experience of doing certain work that over time is science. It's science. What I want people to understand is that every single one of us has the capacity to look at our lives and see outcomes and to either do it again so that you keep getting the same outcomes or not doing it. Same thing with these clowns, right? Whether nefarious or not. But I want us to get out of this, because they're going to keep presenting it to us. You know, they're going to keep saying if it didn't come from the establishment, if it didn't come from, at this point, it's like a religion. Science is a religion in America. You agree, David? Religious.
Definitely can be.
Believe or don't believe, heaven or hell, God or devil, like, but we need to break out of that. Say it again. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying, I have this feedback. I don't know if you can hear it, but I was told that, that we're all scientists, you know, and that's just kind of building on what you were just saying. The best example is when you're watching a child, mm-hmm. a baby. You know, you're seeing little scientists there, you know, observing everything, you know, putting everything in their mouth just to see what happens, touching things just to see what happens, learning as they go. You know, it's a natural thing to be a scientist. But, you know, there's that, and then you have those who have dedicated their lives to, you know, the scholarship and the various sciences that are out there.
Yep.
And, you know, we don't want to, like, marginalize what it is that they do, because
for sure,
years of study and practice. But at the end of the day, what we want everyone to understand is that there's science that is good, and then there's science can be harmful too. And so, and then, you know, I'm willing to say that there are some unintended consequences, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say everything was intentional. But there are things that are intentional. And so I remember you was talking to her about conspiracy theorists and coincidence theorists and all that. And basically all we want to do is just have people to, oh, you know, she made some great points as far as like, you know, not being able to say that something is a COVID-related death.
Right.
But then on the flip side, you know, if you're going to say that, then, you know, logic is you have to also accept this, you know. And so that's what you've really been doing with the show, is just trying to get people to be open enough to receive and then ultimately do their own research. Because I think that's another thing she said, is that, you know, let people, you know, take responsibility, but they also have to take responsibility, you know. And I like that. I'm with that, because there's just too much craziness that's going on for me to look at centuries of history and decades of history and ignore everything that's been done. So.
And she said, read and read some more. And that is across all, you know, no matter what level of stratification you live in this setup. And I've seen it. I've seen people who have gone to the university PhD level who don't know nothing but nothing surface. And I've seen people who haven't stepped foot on a college campus. Maybe they just barely passed high school, and they have such a depth of knowledge and understanding about the reality that is unmatched. And so it doesn't matter. Just get the knowledge. Just get the information. Even mis and disinformation. I tell people it's a file. I want you to look at it. You know, don't reject the knowledge. Don't reject the information. Say to yourself, okay, I don't know if it's true. I have to do it. There's what's the topic? I want to give you guys like an example. There's certain things that the moon, right? The moon landing, right? I'm like, I don't know. You know, you got what's his name? Come on. The Shining. Come on, somebody. 42, my brain cells. Stanley Kubrick. So I got Stanley Kubrick over here saying, look, I directed it on a stage, and then they, you know, he made Eyes Wide Shut and it killed him. I don't know. I'm on the fence, right? There's a lot of things, but I put it in my file. I got like, you know, Dewey Decimal System, and I just file it away. And then if I need to recall it 5-10 years from now, or in a conversation, I could dig and there it is. So don't throw away information. You got to remove the cognitive dissonance and tell yourself, be courageous enough to receive. Everything is info. What I've also learned is that if it makes me emotional, then I have to kind of throttle back a little bit, because my emotions might, you know, determine if I file it away or not, right? Or how I file it. But I think mostly what I want to do is support people who are opting out of the vaccination. If you are opting out of the vaccination, my goal today was to make sure that you know there is a science to that decision. You clearly, maybe you don't know why, or maybe you have seen some things and you said to yourself, you know, yeah, I don't know. And I want you to be okay with that. I want you to be supported in that. And I have had to shift over to those who choose to take the vaccine. I have not seen it outside of a desire to just want to survive. Or you're doing it altruistically and you're thinking of your fellow man or woman. Right, David? I mean, that's okay. Like, there's that's a nobility right. to that.
Yeah.
You know?
No, yeah.
Who is saying I'm gonna take the vaccine, you know, I'm gonna take the vaccine myself. Yeah, I mean there is some kind of like selfishness going on in terms of people stepping to the front of the line, things like that. But in general, people just want to survive.
Yeah. That's all it comes, and that's all it is, you know. Is, and even folk who are critical of, you know, those of us who don't want to take the vaccine, at the end of the day, they're just being driven by this, the first nature.
Yeah.
You know, the first law of nature, which is, you know, to survive, to live.
Yes.
So, but, yeah.
But I'm saying to people, look, if you know, it's suppressed. But we just shared, you know, I shared an arsenal of they're anecdotal, but people who have had majorly severe reactions to the vaccination. We shared it on the Mental Speak page. Do peruse our page, man. We be sharing some gems. We be sharing some gems. So, you know, look over the page. Like, our goal, again, we just throw knowledge out, throw information out there. It's up to you to file it away and follow up and research on it, okay? We're not posting it and going like, yup, this is it. We're like, ooh, this is interesting. Philosophical, And then we put it there in hopes that you'll share it or take it for research. But there's a whole bunch of reactions. There are healthcare professionals putting themselves on the line to tell you that people are dying from this vaccine. Pharma ain't gonna. Pfizer ain't gonna come out. Pfizer's not gonna come out and say, "Look, we lost 50 people last week." Ain't gonna tell you that. Why would they?
Yeah, I thought it was. You know what? She did give some context to something that I kind of understood. When you go back and you look at how long it takes to develop a vaccine, it's typically, you know, up to 10 years and several stages of trials. And when she pointed out that the FDA didn't approve this,
yes,
it's FDA
emergency approval.
Emergency approval.
Yes.
You know, not that's not the same as FDA approved.
Which is why
FDA, so you know they have had issues themselves. But go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So the fact that this thing isn't FDA approved in the way that we typically think about it or understand it, that was, you know, an eye opener. And when she said. I think she said something like, you know, you go through all these clinical trials, and then when it's time for the population to partake, you know, you're on your fifth, you know, fifth phase or something to that effect.
This is the first phase.
And she's like, no, this is the phase.
This is the phase.
Ain't no other. You know, it's it. And so I was like, you know, those are two things that kind of stood out for me.
That part. And people, that's another thing I'm
taking. And this is a scientist talking, right?
Yeah, this is a scientist. Okay. This is a tried and true, almost 30-year scientist. Like, she is the real deal, and knows her stuff. And I can only speak anecdotally, you know, from having been in the military and having taken vaccines. But I think I've mentioned this before, but I was able to get the VA to acknowledge a vaccine injury on my part. And because I made the case that, you know, I went in a healthy 18-year-old. How do I go in a healthy 18-year-old and come out with autoimmune disorder? And then you have to, again, this is why it's so important to research, because I did my own research. You're going to have this panel say, no, what are you talking about? We didn't cause that. I'm like, well, here's what triggers autoimmune disorder. Then I researched every single inoculation that they gave me.
I remember all of that. I watched you.
You remember? You remember?
Go through it. And I went, and you and
buddy,
proved your case.
Prove my case. And they had to, you know, they had to acknowledge it and they had to compensate it. There's a reason that they have vaccine compensation program, y'all. They, you know, and there's a reason that they told us this time they ain't doing that, though, because the thing about it is, if it is, in fact, and it appears to be a military operation, anything put operation in front of it is some I'm going to say Nazi medicine operation, but we'll go with military. OK, they've enacted the military to, and the thing is the target would be the virus. But is the target really the virus? That's what we're really having to ask ourselves. Is the target really the virus in this operation? Because why would you put an emergency concoction out that you don't know how it's going to affect the population, and you haven't even approved it to be safe for the population? And the military said, if the military said we're not taking it, clearly it's an operation, because you're not going to put a campaign against yourself. Just saying, that's me. It's my perspective.
Yeah, I mean, that's what part. Dr. Wesley Muhammad pointed out, as far as for those of us in the black community that, you know, have apprehension based on the history of how science was used on us. And his thing was, you know, the military and first responders and, you know, white people in general, they were always first in line to get these things. But the military is not, you know, they're not partaking in it to that degree. 60% of healthcare workers are, I think it's 40% aren't taking it and 60% are. But, like, this isn't, you know, this is not something that has overwhelming support. And people are afraid and people are confused. And everyone has something to say, and everybody is right in what they're saying based on their experiences. And that has to be appreciated, you know, in order to have some understanding and to get some peace and balance. Black people have every reason to be apprehensive about this thing, and white people have every reason to be, you know, gleeful about it and wanting to jump in line to get it, you
Come
know.
On. Come on.
I get all of it. I get all of it. Okay. You know?
And that's and all we're that's what we're trying to do here. Like, to make sense of it all, to make sense of every action, as many as we can, and in the perspectives that we have. I want to play this real quick. We're getting ready to wrap up, but I want to play. This is Dr. Fauci talking about he back in the house. I think we're going to have this conversation on another day, but here you go.
Yeah, I mean, it is such an unusual, aberrant situation, Rachel, where you had at the very top, and I, you know, I don't take any great pleasure in criticizing presidential leadership or the people around the president, but we had a situation where science was distorted and or rejected, and a lot of pressure was put on individuals and organizations to do things that were not directly related to what their best opinion would be vis-a-vis the science. You know,
Now, to his point, and I'm talking to the listeners and I'm talking to us, we feel pressured to do things. To his point, you tell us it's science, and you tell us to just trust you blindly, but your history of science with us, I can't find the turning point. I can't find the place. I am a social scientist, and just by being human, I'm a scientist. I can't find the turning point in any of my studies where this establishment was not doing harm. So therefore, my logical mind says to me, I'm going to wait it out. I'm going to step out of this. I'm going to use a little science based on the previous outcomes. And I'm going to make a determination and a hypothesis that you're not necessarily up to any good right now. And until we see otherwise, you know, y'all going to do what you're going to do. We're going to push forward with healing our minds, balancing ourselves, and uniting with tribe. And that's what we're going to do. And I'm probably going to say this every week. Just study, research, get the knowledge, get the information for yourself, whether you decide to, you know, follow the establishment and its purveyors of, you know, science and what to do. That's fine. But there's an intelligent population of people out here who are social scientists and medical scientists. And we have people who are in all facets of life who are asking very intelligent questions. And we're going to keep asking those questions, but we're also going to take action. And that includes protecting ourselves and protecting our genome. If we have that right, this will all work out. And we have understanding, right? You'll leave us alone. But if we see these vaccine passports and, you know, control of where we come and go, then we're going to know the truth that we're not really free. And like I told you guys, the truth will always come out no matter what, right? The truth will always reveal itself. So if they're telling us we're free and we have autonomy, we're going to keep it moving. But time and action very quickly will tell. Okay. FBRN.us. This is the Mental Speak Radio Show. You can reach me at LT at Mental Speak Radio. LT at Mental Speak Radio. Listen, this week, getting ready to go live with online courses to help you get through whatever you have to get through in life. What I've done as a therapist for the last 5 years, what I realize is you can package the information. We call it psychoeducation. And I was able to take the simplest parts of it, put it together in the way that I would give clients and give it to the world. And I'm so excited to be able to do that. Look for it this coming week. We're going to get that out there to the world. I want to get it in your hands. Okay. So it's going to be comprehensive approach to healing depression, anxiety, you got habits you need to break. Look, COVID's the best time to do it, right? Disciplining your mind, mindfulness, finding peace, okay, and balance. That's what we're here to do. Mental Speak Radio Show. David Pierce, Pugilism and Politics. Shout out to the urban intellectuals. Thank you, everybody tuned in around the world. Thank you so much for our Facebook family. You guys are here. You guys just keep it popping. Let's keep sharing. Let's get this word out. Let's, you know, get it to the people. You guys, it's okay. It's okay to be knowledgeable and conscious. It's sexy. It's sexy. It's so sexy. It's the best thing you could do. Get that knowledge. Most importantly, apply it. Okay? LT Mental Speak. Old school. You know how we do it? When's the last time you heard that? Huh? Street Politi? When's the last time you heard it? You don't even know, right? But I got you covered. We'll be back next week, Sunday. I wish you well. Be well this week. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Okay? And read. Okay, bye. Get back to the basics for you. Oh, yeah. You got a conscience and passion. Got a win with the power. And with a heart full of complacency, too.
This is LaTanya L.T. Davison of the Mental Speak and Music Speak radio shows, broadcasting live each week on Sunday at 5 p.m. Central from Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas. Log on to hear discussions on social issues, mental and emotional wellness,
comedy, music, and other topics with the goal of finding balance within ourselves and our communities around the world on Fishbowl Radio Network. Jump in.